to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 11. And if you don't have a Bible, there should be one on back of the pew that is in front of you. Matthew's Gospel chapter 11. And let me start with verse 25 and read through the end of the chapter. Matthew 11, 25. At that time, Jesus declared, and so these are the words of Jesus. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by the Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Verse 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus speaks these words very early on in his ministry. Yet, Jesus is already facing a great deal of opposition, especially from the religious establishment. There were two groups, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees were the religious elitist. The Sadducees were religious, but were much more slanted politically. They have already become so intimidated by Jesus that the only thing they tried to do and knew to do was to undermine him at every turn. Yet in spite of the opposition coming from some of the most powerful men in Israel, the common people amazingly were drawn to Jesus. So Jesus understands real early in his ministry that his work isn't gonna center around the movers and shakers of society, but his work will center around the outcast, the downtrodden, and the forgotten of his society. So in Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus is in prayer to the Father. And Jesus says that you have not revealed these things, talking about himself. He says you've not revealed these things to the wise and understanding, but rather you have revealed these things to little children. What's he talking about? By the wise and understanding, Jesus is talking about those men, the religious establishment and others, who should have known who he was, the long-awaited Messiah. These are men who should have understood why he was there as the Savior of the world. But those men who should have known all about him were clueless as to who he was. But who he was and what he was had been revealed to little children. Now, not physically little children, but he's talking about the overlooked and he's talking about the innocent of society. In verse number 27, Jesus says something that he will often say in his ministry. that the only way to come to the Father is through him. Then beginning in verse 28, Jesus makes one of the most powerful statements in all of the scripture. When Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, because I'm gentle, I'm meek in my heart, and you shall find rest for your souls." He says, "For my yoke is easy and that my burden is light." His name was Augustina. Augustina was a theologian and a philosopher. Augustina was one of the greatest minds in the 5th century. He was well aware of all of the philosophies of his day. And it was Augustina who said, quote, "I have heard from Plato and Cicero many words that are wise, but I have never read such words as these. Come unto me, all ye who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Out on the Isle of Wight, Queen Victoria erected a statue of her mother, Queen Elizabeth. The statue pictures Queen Elizabeth in death. And the statue, one of the queen's hand, is just dangling in death. But in her other hand is an open Bible. And chiseled on the open page of that Bible are these words: "Come unto me, all of you who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Friend and brethren, please understand this. Listen, there may be no passage in all of the Bible that gives to us more encouragement than this passage. There may be no passage in all of the Bible that gives to us more hope and gives to us more peace than these words. The words that Jesus said as he very boldly proclaimed that he was the answer. "Come unto me, all ye who are burdened and wore out, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, learn about me. I'm meek and lowly, and you'll find rest for your soul, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, here is where we're going with this. When Jesus stood there on that occasion, and when he spoke those words were being addressed to three specific crowds that were standing there. There were three very specific crowds that were standing there who heard these words. These are the words of the great invitation. But who are these words spoken to specifically? Notice with me first. The words of the Great Commission were spoken to people who had been worn out by sin. I want to tell you something. I've been doing this a long time. I've been doing this for more than 45 years now.
Amen.
I've been doing this a long time.
And what I'm about to tell you right now, I didn't read this in a book. No, I didn't hear somebody else say it and think, boy, this would be cute to get up and tell everybody. But this is what I have learned in 45 years of ministry. What I have learned in 45 years of ministry is that sin is exhausting. It is an exhausting thing to have your life controlled by a liquor bottle. It is an exhausting thing to have your life controlled by drugs. It is an exhausting thing every day to keep looking back over your shoulder to see if what you've done in your past, if today is the day that it's going to be found out. We hearing? We listening? Listen, sin never builds up anything. Sin never improves any situation. Sin wears on us. Sin labors us. Sin breaks us down. It is an exhausting thing to live for the flesh. Think about Adam and Eve for a minute. Initially, Adam and Eve enjoyed peace and joy in the Garden of Eden. Initially, Adam and Eve knew the contentment that can only come from being in a right relationship with God. But then Adam and Eve chose to sin. And when they chose to sin, their lives began to fall apart. So because of sin, Adam now had to work by the sweat of his brow. Because of sin, now Eve would have to bear children in pain. Because of sin, Adam and Eve were expelled from the Garden of Eden. And so here at the very, very beginning of the Bible, here stands Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve stand there at the very opening pages of the Bible. They stand there as a model to show us the effect that sin has on our lives if that's the way we choose to go. Look. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. Sin complicates things incredibly. Sin puts us in a position to where there's no easy answers for anything. Sin puts us in a position to where there's no easy options. And you can only live with that. You can only bear up with that for so long because sin is exhausting. Please understand this. You or I may not commit the same sin that Adam and Eve did. You listening? But all of us must carry our burden of sin through life. The question is not, will I or will I not sin? That's a far gone conclusion. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is not a righteous man, no, not one. All of we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned each one to our own way. The only question that each of us must ask and that each of us must answer, the only question is this: what yoke are you gonna use to pull your sins through life? What are you gonna use to pull your sins through life? Now, there are some people who will use the yoke of positive thinking. Now, I'd rather be an optimist than a pessimist. I'd rather see the glass half full than half empty. But you have to understand that all of the positive thinking in the world, there are some things it cannot do. You can think as positive as you want, but positive thinking will never cleanse you of your sins. Then there are other people who will turn to the yoke of self-reliance. I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstrap, and I'm going to live. And that's great as long as you understand there are some things in and of yourself you cannot do. You cannot of yourself remove your sins. Here's the question: what yoke are you gonna use to pull your sins through life? Some people use the yoke of escaping reality. So they turn to drugs. They turn to alcohol. They turn to pornography. They turn to 1,000 other things. And those things may give you an escape temporarily, but you end up the next day worse than you were the day before. What yoke? What yoke are you going to use to pull your sins through life? There is only one yoke that can successfully do that, and that is the yoke of Jesus. It is the yoke that says, "Come unto me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, think about this for a minute. Think about this. It is only in Jesus that we can have relief in our reality. It is only in Jesus where we understand that I don't have to escape life to enjoy life. Maybe all of your life, you've been waiting for somebody to tell you how to get rid of this. You're sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you're sick and tired of the life that you lived. Listen to me. The answer is Jesus. "Come unto me, all you who have been worn out by sin, and I'll give you rest." As Jesus stood there in Matthew 11, and as he proclaimed this great invitation, that was one of three groups that were standing there, and he addressed them. Those who are worn out by sin. Listen, if you're sick and tired of it, get out of it. You don't have to keep going with this. Number two, there was a second, very specific group that was standing there. The great invitation was extended to those who've been worn out by sin. Secondly, the great invitation was extended to those who had been worn out by the rules of man-made religion. The rules of man-made religion. When Jesus began his ministry, the Pharisees began what became known as writing the Talmud. Now, what was the Talmud? Basically, the Talmud was a commentary on the first five books of the Old Testament. Listen, there were volumes and volumes and volumes and volumes of the Talmud, where the Pharisees, the elitists, were saying, here's how to keep the law. And all of them were their own rules, which they didn't keep. For instance, the old law says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. That's all it says. During the law of Moses, the Sabbath was the day they observed. Now, in New Testament Christianity today, the day that we observe is the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, Sunday. But that's all the old law said. It just said, remember the Sabbath. But that wasn't good enough. No, we got to explain how to do it. There's hundreds of examples like this. I'm just going to give you one. The Pharisees said that it was against the law, not God's law, their law, for a man to tie a knot in a rope on the Sabbath. You could not, if you were a man, you could not tie a knot in a rope on the Sabbath. But then they turned right around and said, but if you're a woman, you can wear a girdle and tie that girdle to yourself. Listen. I can't make this up. I'm not smart enough to make this up. And don't get ahead of me. So I can't tie a knot in a rope on the Sabbath, but my wife can tie her girdle to herself. So on the Sabbath, Jewish men all over the country with a bucket in one hand and their wife's girdle in the other hand would head out to the well. And because they couldn't tie a knot in the rope to dunk it into the well, they tie their wife's girdle to that bucket and dunk that under there and pull it up. Now, are you listening? Because here's what I want you to understand. Listen to me. This is how ludicrous, this is how insanely ludicrous religion becomes when we follow man-made rules. So all over the religious world today, people are trying to follow the rules that some man or a group of men has set up, and this is what I got to do. You're getting quiet now. All over the religious world, people are paying homage to denominations that bow down to the rules of men. And so people go about in religion today. Their religion is absolutely exhausting because they're trying to keep everybody's rules, and those rules save nobody. Nobody. So Jesus speaks the great invitation. Come to me. Just come to me, I'll give you rest. Jesus, who are you talking to? I'm talking to people who are worn out by sin. I'm talking to people who are sick and tired of just being sick and tired of the way they live. Who is he talking to? He's talking to people who have been worn out by the rules of man-made religion. Number three, Jesus speaks the words of the great invitation to the third group there, those who have been worn out by the hardships of life. There were those who were standing there who were completely exhausted by the hardships they were facing. Now, I'm gonna tell you something you know. Christian people get sick like everybody else gets sick. And Christian people get cancer like everybody else gets cancer. And we lose loved ones like everybody else loses loved ones. But here's the difference. The difference is that when a Christian gets to the very bleakest moments of their lives, if Jesus is on the team, he is there to lighten the load considerably. Now, watch carefully here what he said in Matthew 11. In verse 29, he says, take my yoke upon you. In verse 30, he said, for my yoke is easy. When Jesus stood there and when he said that, everybody in that crowd knew exactly what he was talking about because all of them were farmers. So in the ancient world, you take a yoke and you'd hook two animals together on that yoke. Say, oxen. But many times, one of those animals would be larger or stronger than the other animal. And whenever that was the case, they would take the yoke and readjust the yoke so that the larger and the stronger animal would pull the majority of the weight. You understand? When Jesus said, listen, take my yoke upon you. When he said, my yoke is easy, what Jesus was saying, listen, you hook yourself to me and we'll go through life. And when life gets too hard for you, we'll just readjust the yoke and I'll carry the majority of the burden to the other side. It is incredible to me. It is incredible to me that people can live the way they live sometimes and not come out of it. Aren't you tired or your conscience killing you? Aren't you tired of just, I don't like my life? Aren't you tired of following some man's rules for what God wants you to do? Do this, don't do that. Do this, don't do that. How about this? I'll do what that says. And if you're worn out by the hardships of life, you need to yoke yourself to Jesus. I want us to close by very carefully analyzing what Jesus said here. Come unto me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Look carefully at what he said. He said, come, come. That word implies opportunity. Do you see it? You have an opportunity to come. That word implies that we are not passive in our salvation. Listen, there's something we need to do. What do I need to do? You need to come. You need to come. Look what he said carefully. Come unto me. Only Jesus can give you this rest. Only Jesus can impart forgiveness of your sins. Come to me. Look carefully at what he said. All, come unto me, all of you. Listen, the great invitation is universal. It's to all. All, that word all means you. Well, I've gone too far, too deep, I can't get up. You can get up and you're invited to get up. Look carefully at what it says. All who are labor and heavy laden. If this age of anxiety has got you wore out, then get out of it. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. And he said, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. There is a rest that you can only receive by having a relationship with the Lord. So how do I come to him? You come to him with faith. This isn't just ink on paper. This is real. Believe that this is real. Then you change your life. I'm going to stop living my way and I'm going to live his way. Listen, our way isn't working. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to live his way. The Bible calls that repentance. Then I'm going to say with my mouth what my mind and heart believes. I believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God. And then you're baptized for remission of sin. There's no magic potion in the water. It's an act of faith. I believe, and I believe so much that I'm willing to do what the Lord said that I needed to do to have my sins removed. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I love you. I understand, but I'm begging you, don't leave here like you came in. Don't leave here like you came in. Come to Jesus and find a rest that you never knew existed in this world. If you need to come, God